I think it'll be a lot shorter. Okay, so that is a last speaker before our lunch break. I'm happy to introduce you, Caroline French. She is a program manager of the cryptography module validation program at the Communication Security Establishment Canada. She has worked as a security architecture engineer at CSE since 2006. We work with Caroline a lot. She is the CSE NIST manager, so she oversees the program together with Jennifer from the NIST CMVP, and she does lots of report reviewing and the certificate reviewing and then lab auditing, and we often get the guidance from her as well. So it's my pleasure to welcome Karen to give us a talk to share the inside of the FIPS.
Thanks, Yi. So this talk is a little bit different from the abstract because I think it says something about bound and embedded modules in it. But when I looked at the FIPS inside topic, like, you know, when a FIPS module is inside a bigger thing, it's actually a large topic, and there's a lot of conversations that are happening about it. I think there's going to be a lot of conversations here at the ICMC. It was touched on in one of the keynotes this morning. So this is less of a presentation and more of a discussion and conversation about, you know, what's going on when we call something FIPS inside. So just this is the obligatory slide at the beginning saying who I am and who we are. The CMVP is a program jointly run by the Communication Security Establishment and NIST, and CSE is the Canadian Certification Authority as part of the CMVP. But you guys already know all that. Okay, so looking at the U.S. and FIPS, and this is a shortened form of what's actually in the FIPS 140-2 standard in the applicability section, and it's basically a summary, and it says it's a standard applied to all U.S. federal agencies that use cryptography, and it is mandatory for the design and implementation of cryptographic modules. And then, meanwhile, in Canada, it's a little bit different. We don't have a federal law that mandates FIPS 140-2 in all cryptography. We take it; it's a little bit more risk managed. Information designated as what we call protected B should be encrypted by a FIPS 140-2 validated module running in FIPS mode. And as Joe Waddington mentioned this morning, CSC works very closely with our federal departments and agencies on the procurement, implementation, design of the security in their systems. And Shared Services Canada is the prime example of that, where we have worked very closely with them to make sure that all the cryptography is FIPS validated and secure. And this is an example of the clauses that we instruct our users to put into their contracts. So basically, all algorithms have been approved by CSC and validated by the CAVP. Our algorithms are the same. Our approved algorithms are the CMVP approved algorithms. And they're implemented in a module and running in FIPS mode. So let's turn this around. What does it mean? What does the opposite of that mean? So if you are not using a validated module, we view that as no protection is being provided to your data. In essence, if cryptography is required, then it must be validated, and this is on the CMVP website. So this is sort of like the opposite of using FIPS 140-2. We consider it plain text if you're not using the validated cryptography. So And what it means is you're using an approved algorithm with keys that have been generated, derived, or established in an approved manner with an approved strength and with sufficient entropy. So you know that you're getting, if you're asking for 112 bits, you're getting a 112-bit key. So this is the ideal. This is what we want to have, is that everything going out from the boundary of a box is encrypted in that manner. And ideally, you get from the user's point of view, if you have a certificate, that's what you're going to get. However, the way that it actually works is a little bit different. It's not just about getting a certificate. Because in FIPS 140-2, the definition of a module is that it must have at least one approved cryptographic algorithm or function. And this is a good thing, because cryptographic modules do all sorts of different things. We have something that's simple, like an integrity checker that may only need one algorithm, and then of course we have whole router boxes that do all sorts of things, and they're very complicated. And so the standard accounts for all of that. So you might have, even in one box, you may have several cryptographic modules working together in order to do that ideal I showed earlier, where you've got your approved algorithm with your keys and your entropy. So they're all working together. And that's, FIPS is okay with that. It's up to the vendor to decide how they want to do that. Also, the vendor determines the boundary of the cryptographic module. They may choose to validate their entire product, the outside of the box, including the chassis and everything, or they might decide to validate a very small part of it and just the cryptography, which again is a very useful thing to do because it means that the lab only has to look at that very small part of it. That's the only thing that needs to get validated and have a certificate. It might not change very much or very often, so you don't have to keep coming back through the program and every time you change a card on your box, you have to come back and get the whole thing checked again. So this is a good thing. Additionally, that's our cat tips, a vendor may incorporate another validated module from another vendor inside their product. And that happens all the time, and we have some very well-known examples of where that happens. In either case, if it's the vendor themselves making the boundary a sub-part of their actual product, or they're incorporating another vendor's an open library into their product, we recommend, and this again is on the CMVP website, we recommend that the user obtain a signed letter from the product vendor affirming the presence and version of the validated module. So if you're going to buy something and they say they have FIPS inside, get a letter from them saying what the actual certificate is. So again, as I said, FIPS inside is a good thing. It allows for elegant, reusable solutions. You can take one module and you can use it over and over again. As Joe said this morning, implementing crypto is hard. If you get it done, you get it done right, and it's a reusable solution, then that's great. You can just bring it from box to box. And also Common Criteria sees that a lot, where they're evaluating an entire box, and there's the crypto modules are within that boundary. So given all that, how does the user know that what's exiting the box follows, what I talked about earlier? How do they know that their information is being protected using an approved algorithm that has been validated by the CAVP, has had its keys established in an approved way, and that the entropy has been checked to make sure that your keys are actually strong? How does the user connect the dots so that they have the whole ideal of all those things that I talked about earlier? So this is, you know, what the vendor can do. When you're providing the signed letter to the user about your FIPS inside, give the certificate module or certificate number of the modules inside and what they do. You know, say what's providing the entropy, what is generating the keys. So as much as you can do to connect the dots for the user in that letter, that's great. Lost my spot. And then what the user should do as part of that conversation, they should ask, well, when you say FIPS inside, what is inside? What module is generating the keys, and so on. And the user can also check the caveats of the module. So if they're given a certificate number and they see a caveat, something like no assurance of minimum strength of generated keys, then they should ask the question, well, where is the entropy coming from? What is generating the keys or the entropy for that module? We also have a draft IG that has the caveat in it that we've been playing around with, is this module has been validated with very limited cryptographic functionality, which requires a risk assessment before use. The idea is that if you see a module like that, there should be another module with it. There should be more than one module in the box, and they should be able, you know, the vendor should be able to tell you how these modules work together in order to create the whole. Also, you can, as the user, they can leverage common criteria for added assurance to use the common criteria evaluated products against an appropriate protection profile. And this is a shout out for Corey Clark's talk on Friday, which is going to examine how they assure that the cryptography in the box is FIPS validated and is doing what it's supposed to be doing. There's also procurement lists that the users can go to. The DoD UCAPL looks at the certificates and examines them, and they want to make sure stuff is FIPS validated before they put it on their list. And also, and this is a little bit more of a pie in the sky, so in our management manual Annex E, I think, it says that the use of FIPS 140-2 logo on products must be accompanied by the trademark there. And if the cryptographic module is a component of a product, the phrase FIPS 140-2 inside must accompany the logo. And there's actually a form on the website where you fill out the form and you send it in, and then somebody will respond and say, yes, you can use the logo in here. And here it is. You can put it in your letter, in your affirmation, the FIPS logo, which can only be used with permission, and the FIPS inside. So that's not the pie in the sky part. This part is. So, you know, as part of that, can we provide some sort of unofficial assurance that, you know, when you're asking for that logo, you tell us, here's the modules inside and this is how they work together. Like here's the key management module. This is where the keys are created and derived. Here's the module that's doing the integrity check. Here's the module that's doing the actual encryption. And then, you know, if there's any other ideas, anybody has other ideas, you know, there was the mention this morning of on-the-fly validation testing, which might do part of that as well. I mean, there's so many ideas, and then there's so many other programs to look at that can do this work. And I think that's it. Okay. Any questions? Yes, Steve.
One suggestion, so this goes back to the work for a lab and do the same thing now on the vendor again, is we can go to a lab and have them audit if it's inside
yes.
the installation and get a lab letter. And that works really well because customers get something that they don't have to believe us.
Yeah, actually, I had that written in my notes and I forgot to mention it. But yes, that is also something that the user can do or the vendor can do is get that letter from another lab that does provides the assurance activity. Now, that's not officially condoned by the CMVP, that's outside of the CMVP program, but then can actually check to see what's being done inside and say, yes, we've checked to make sure that all these pieces are working together to create, you know, what was at the beginning of the presentation is valid cryptography.
Yes. You mentioned the comparison, but you never talked about whether the cryptographic module was validated as a hardware, firmware, hybrid software, and it's being put into something else, and whether that had to be met.
I'm not sure.
Well, if I validate something as a hardware module,
yep.
And I basically take it and put it into something totally different that has a different process, different hardware, you don't talk about how that had to be looked at and established. You made it sound like that was irrelevant.
Well, that's the FIPS inside. So you can take a hardware something, and it's the same as software. You can incorporate that, and it does happen, into a larger box. And you can either bring that larger box through our program as a whole, or you can do the same thing as the FIPS inside, and if all the cryptography is being done on that one chip or hardware thing.
Still got a massive platform on the SP.
Yeah.
Well, you did talk about that, and that's where I was getting at. You made it sound like all you had to match was the basic cryptographic features and not, because I don't consider hardware software, I
think okay.
Cryptographic feature more of its environment.
Yeah.
Okay. Are your slides going to be available?
Yep. Yeah, I think all the slides from the conference will be available.
Randy said I should punt this question to you.
So I'm ready.
Blame him. I'll say the latter. So I noticed a lot of the more recent ISPPs are making reference. Well, they're dereferencing the NISSP documents and moving to what they consider equivalent ISO documents. Are NIAP and CMVP making sure that when this CMVP moves to ISO that these things will be well coordinated so that NIAP is not referencing these while you're referencing these?
Yeah, so yes. So we're doing the same thing of moving towards international standards. It's a little bit of a bottom-up thing, but we do work with NIAP and with the Canadian. I mean, I've got the Canadian Common Criteria Scheme as our neighbors, so we all work together for the common good.
So our phone, because Brandy also told me to ask you this question. And based on what you were just saying, that moving to ISO standards, does that mean you are adopting the ISO standard FIPS 140-3?
That is still the intention.
So, do you know if it's closer? Because I know a lot of people are telling me this year. I mean, we're putting stuff through validation for 140-2. Do we have to turn it around and then go through validation for 140-3? It's somewhat different under the ISO.
Yeah, so there will be a transition. So, same with if we went to a FIPS 140-3, there would be a transition from one to the other.
Okay.
Oh. Yes?
In one of your earlier slides, you gave the impression if you want to have more confidence, then you should use a common criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make it more specific on what type of things you expect to get more confidence?
Well, it depends on the protection profile, or I can just send you to Corey's talk on Friday, but when they go through and do their evaluations, they will check the cryptography per the protection profile and make sure that, you know, that the certificates are there and that the module is actually on the box, that the vendor is claiming on the box and is doing the cryptographic functions altogether. So, I mean, the common criteria is a sort of a bigger picture than the cryptographic modules are like. We're the very bottom of the food chain. And then what common criteria is takes all those pieces and puts them together more. I don't know if that actually answered your question. It depends on the protection profile, I believe, like in the NDPP. Corey is nodding.
You say you may go deeper and deeper analysis.
Sorry?
you say more or less you go deeper with your analysis.
I didn't catch.
ECC.
We what? Sorry, I didn't catch what you said.
I say, in other words, you say in quantitative you go a little bit further with your analysis.
Yes. Well, they have a different view. So their assurance of not just the cryptography, but all of the security features of a box. So cryptography is only one piece of the puzzle. And so they will check that along with all the other things that they're checking as part of their protection profile. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Karen, maybe you can just clarify, I think, your question that when transition to the dash 3 or the ISO standard or whatever it turns into, the FIPS 140-2 certificates won't go away and those monitors will not all of a sudden become not validated.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I asked that question was because in November there were some changes that were implemented and allowed products that are 5 years old to archive. So there's been lots of revalidation going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if, you know, those sorts of moves might happen with 140-2 because it's super old.
So it wouldn't happen like, you know, as soon as we go to dash 3, all the other ones are no good. That's not going to happen. There will be a time.
I'm the only one that's dash 3, so that's okay.
One last question, please.
So you said receiving confirmation letters would require information about what modules, certification numbers, names of the versions and so on are used. Have you said anything that they are written in FIPS mode? Have you said anything that authentication data, if it's a security level 2 plus module, is stored securely or handled securely by the rest of the side solution? And other things, I think there is more aspects in that.
Yeah.
Outside or the wrapper could have its own crypto implementation, which are actually used in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So the inside module is just to have this inside module, nothing else. So I think there's one more aspect in regard to have a FIPS inside solution, which actually reflects what you would expect.
Yes.
And the second one, the is there any guidance for the user? Because you said the educated user would ask for this, would ask for that. Is there any basis that this is a valid assumption? Is there
mm-hmm.
any guidance? Okay, this is like a checklist. This you should ask for before accepting this as a FIPS device.
Not at this time, but we could consider it. I mean, this is, like I said, this is the beginning of a discussion, and if this is something really important, we can, so that's basically a user education part of it.
Your presentation has a good basis to write such a document.
So, yeah.
The ISO document
it really would be wise if someone would repeat the questions because these conferences are being recorded and there will be people that were in the other session that want to hear what's happening here. So honestly, I as someone who tried to listen to conferences I missed for the last ICMC 15, if you don't come to the mic and make the question, it really is really hard to know what's going on.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, thank you. I'm sorry about that.
Just in response to Arne's question, the 200-540 and the development ISO standard. Attempts is to hold on.
I'm going to attempt to
In regard to Arnold's comment, the ISO 200-540, which is under development, is intended to capture things that the user should take into consideration, which is some of the things that Carolyn has mentioned here. And our goal is to capture things like this in that document for the user.
Okay, I guess it's time for lunch. And thanks, Karen. I learned something new. It's FIPS Inside. Okay.